Well, you've been here. We've been talking about the lens of faith and how important it is for you to have what we would call, prosperous ears that you hear what God has to say and you act on it. Can I have an amen? And it's also important if you have a prosperous mouth. Can I have an amen? How many remember we're called to bless and not curse people? Our mouths line up with the Word of God in every area. That's what a prosperous mouth is. But how many also know we're supposed to have prosperous eyes? And what you focus on in life is where you are going. So we should be focusing on the things that are important to the heart of God. Today, I want to talk to you about prosperous feet. Look at somebody and say, there is hope for your feet. Hallelujah. In addition to your mouth and your ears and your eyes, your feet prospering. And I think about Romans 10:15, where it talks about how beautiful are the feet that bring good news. Now think about, the teaching in Ephesians. A part of the armor of God is to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So you understand that having prosperous feet is basically living your life and going down a path where you live like everybody else in terms of things you have to do, but you are always focused on redemption. You're always thanking God that you're saved. Can I have a hand clap for anyone here that's glad you are saved? You know what God has done in your life. That's part of it. The second part of it is being excited about being a part of somebody else's redemption. Being that connection point between them and the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember like it was yesterday, we invited John Ashcroft, who was then governor of Missouri, to come to Savannah, Georgia and do a missions conference for us and a banquet. And he used to talk about a very simple concept, being part of the redemptive mission of Jesus Christ wherever you are. How many of you think that's pretty cool, having a governor and a U.S. senator, amen, and an attorney general love Jesus like that? Amen. Amen. We're blessed people. And so that's what we're talking about, is having, feet that are beautiful. It's a path of God that you're on. It's not just about you. It's consciousness of the need for everybody else in this world. And when you look at the scriptures, you'll see that time and time again, God does do amazing things in people's lives. He blesses their lives, but you'll see that they're part of the big picture. And the big picture is a picture of redemption. Let me ask you again, how many glad you're saved? How many are glad for those that have been reached? Yes. How many are glad for the ones that are about to be reached? Yes. Amen. In Genesis 12:1, God says to Abram, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. What's staggering about this is it doesn't say, here's where you're going. It simply says, a land I will show you. And this shows you right now that God had a path for him. And if God had a path for Abram, then he has a path for you and for me. How many know that God had a path for Jonah? Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach. 40 days and Nineveh will be overturned. And what did Jonah do? Notice the redemptive nature of the path of Jonah's assignment. 120,000 people in the city of Nineveh that will perish and be destroyed if they don't repent. He finally relents after he gets swallowed. How many know it's easier just to go ahead and obey God instead of getting swallowed and thrown up on the beach? Look at your neighbor and smile and say, if you ain't been swallowed, you ought to. Amen. And he eventually does what God told him to do. But look at the redemptive nature of the path that he was on. You say, well, that's just for Jonah. That's just for Abram. No, it's for every child of God that's been born again. If you've received redemption, then you have a responsibility to be on that path to share redemption with others. I think about Ananias. He heard what the killer Saul was doing out there, arresting people for the cause of Christ and basically having them killed. He was there even watching Stephen be stoned to death because of the orders he received from the Pharisees and the council. And yet, God sends this man Ananias to this man because he didn't know at that point, but God had gotten a hold of Saul's heart. Now he's going to become Paul the Apostle, and he wants him to pray for him, lay his hands on him, get him baptized in the Holy Ghost. You understand, it's not just about your comfort, Ananias. It's about being part of the redemptive mission of Jesus Christ. I can go on and on and on about the people that God raised up, and it was a redemptive thread in their lives. And if you and I live our lives in this earth, and all we care about is our natural life, and we're not part of that redemptive thread, then we live far below our privileges and what God has called us to be. He never saves a person, but that he wants to use that person to get other people saved. Doesn't mean you'll be a pastor, an evangelist, an apostle, but it does mean you will be a connecting point between Jesus and a person that needs the Lord. One of the biggest problems in the body of Christ, and I've seen all kinds of addictions, addictions to alcohol, addictions to porn, addictions to sex, addictions to drugs, addictions to work, you name it, I have seen it in the body of Christ. But the biggest addiction I've observed is the addiction of the self-directed Christian, where you do what you want. You live where you want. You work where you want. You make the decisions in your life. And you have to be reminded that when you gave your life to Christ, you ceased to exist. So a self-directed Christian is an oxymoron, emphasis on moron. Can I have an amen? You died and your life is hid in Christ. Live as Christ. And to die is gain. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. But this addiction of you choosing and you thinking and you going, all about you, all about what you think, instead of serving the one that actually should be giving you the path to walk on. Look at somebody and say, he loves you, but it's his path that counts. This addiction of self-direction, it hinders the plan of God. It hinders what God wants to do in our lives. In Proverbs 4, verse 26, it says, give careful thought to the paths of your feet and the steadfast in all of your ways. Be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. In Job 23:11, it says, my feet have closely followed his steps. So I've kept to his way without turning aside. In other words, get right with God, get on the right path, and then stay on the right path. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
You know, I remember when Timothy was just real little, I'd pick up his feet and I would yell, stinky feet. I don't know if he's passed on that tradition now to Andrew. So a few years, a few weeks ago, Andrew was over the house, and I just kind of picked up his bare feet, and I go, oh, man, they stink. And he just laugh. And so now I don't have to pick up his feet. Every time he's around me, he'll just stick his feet up for a feet inspection. He wants to know. But all I got to do is, oh, man. Well, today, congratulations, it is foot inspection day at Hope Harbor Church. Let's go ahead, lift them up to your neighbor. You keep your shoes and socks on, glory to God. But what's the condition, literally, of our feet? Are we on the path we're supposed to be on, or do we have stinky feet? Look at somebody and say, no stinky feet here. Oftentimes, people will read this scripture and hear this scripture, and it'll be preached in Matthew 7 about the narrow way. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small or narrow is the gate and the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. The question is, why is it narrow? The path is narrow because it is holy. Can I have an amen? It's a different prescribed way to live. You're not to live like the world lives. You're not to act like the world lives. You're not to talk like the world lives. It is a holy way. The path is also narrow because it's an unpopular way. Few are going to take it. The authentic Christian, listen, is very important in the land that we live in, but a lot of folks live in a more ornamental Christian way than an authentic Christian way. It's unpopular to go down that narrow path. I heard a young lady just a few days ago, and she was giving a testimony. And when she was 14 years old, the doctors and a psychologist and everyone around her told her that the reason that she's miserable, that she's upset all the time, and she's depressed and wants to take her life is because she was literally, a boy in a girl's body.
Wow.
And what she needed to do was transition. 14 years old. Now, if you haven't figured it out, a lot of this is about money, not health. Which makes it even more despicable. And so they put her on blockers, and I won't talk about the details of her surgery, but they did extensive surgery on her, and now she's what they call she's detransitioning. back to the way that God actually made her. Make no mistake about it. This issue has to do with an assault and a war on the sovereignty of God. It's a hatred for God and his subsequent creation. And here she is crying, saying, no adult did the responsible thing to tell me that this was not going to solve anything. It didn't prove anything. Why? Because you can't solve mental illness by cutting parts of your body off. I don't agree with anything that Bill Maher says, Harley, but I could agree with this. He goes, thank God my parents didn't have that mentality when I was a little kid. He said, I wanted to be a part. Thank God they didn't poke out my eye and cut off my leg. Arr. And there she is, detransitioning, crying, upset, because nobody told her the truth. And how many can believe God that God can restore her and bless her life and put her back together in the way that the world couldn't do it? What she needed was Jesus, not a knife. What she needed was Jesus, not a lying psychologist. Can I have an amen? But here's what she said that just floored me. She said, the only people who told me the truth were people in church. I didn't like what they said. I didn't agree with what they said, but they did it in love, but they told me the truth. And she said she believes that in droves, trans folks are going to come and detransition and are going to thank God for people that stood up in the church and told them the truth about that situation. The path of God. So it's offensive to people in the world. A lot of people don't want to walk down that path because it's unpopular. Or God hasn't called us to be popular. God has called us to be faithful. That's a total different mindset. Come on, said, I choose to be faithful. He's been faithful. I'm going to be faithful. That path is narrow because it's specific and prescribed. Where you go, what you do. It's not about your voice. It's not about what you think. It's not about what you decide. It's about finding out your part of the redemptive plan of God and where that should be lived out. What job, what location, what local church, everything should be about his lordship. The narrow way is about the lordship of Jesus Christ, and that's why a lot of people reject it. Yeah, we want to go to heaven. Yeah, we want to have warm fuzzies. Hallelujah. Yeah, we want to have community. Yeah, we want to have potlucks. Glory to God. But do we want a Lord over our life calling the shots? And I would say this to you, not only is that not just the biblical reality and truth and expectation, your absolute most wonderful, best life on this earth is in the lordship of Christ and on the path that he assigns for you. Can I have a better amen than that? Amen. So, Pastor, what are prosperous feet? Prosperous feet are feet that are firmly on the path of God, following him and doing his will, not the path that you create for yourself. I don't know about you, but you know, growing up and as I was in college, I had everything figured out, everything I was going to do, what I was supposed to be involved in. And you know what? Everything I thought I was supposed to do was absolutely not going to come to pass. Flipped upside down. You know, when you come to Christ, it's no longer about what you think. Amen?
That's true.
And you miss out on God's best when you force a path that God did not lead you onto. Amen. Amen. Say, I have prosperous feet. I don't have stinky feet. Psalm 40, verse 2, he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Romans 10, 15 tells us and reminds us how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. And so, you know, today the goal is just to explain this to you, that God has a path for every single person in this building. God has a plan for your life. And just like with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is really no plan B in the mind of God. Now, I have found out, just like Jonah, God can lift you back up and put you back on the path you're supposed to be on if you have humility. But I'll tell you what, I've seen people in the body of Christ, they will make a terrible decision, get off the path of God, and in their pride, they will defend that path to their very destruction and to the destruction of their families. It's okay to say you blew it. It's not okay to blow it and stay in that mess. But he can pick you up. You can pray like the Lord speaks of the Lord, his own prayer. Lord, I'm here to do your will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I don't know how it does it, but it picks you up and puts you right back on the path you're supposed to be on. But don't make a wrong turn and then defend that thing out of pride. I've seen people make stupid decisions in relationships and defend those stupid decisions out of pride. I've seen people walk away from the ministry and defend that in pride. I've seen people walk away from the local church and defend that in pride. Don't do that. It's better to be on the path of God than have pride in your life. Amen. Now that said, not only does he have a path for you, not only is it a redemptive path that impacts other people, he has got all kinds of great things on that path for your life. You don't have to pursue that stuff. All you have to do is just stay on the path that God has assigned to you. And you're going to run right into one blessing after another. I've discovered that all you've got to do is just be faithful. And God will constantly cause you to run into things that he has planned for you from the foundation of the world. He will have a lifetime of surprises for you. Amen. Is there anybody here who likes surprises? Is there anybody here who likes to see what God can do in your life?
Yes.
Has he been faithful thus far?
Yes.
So as you're walking down that path, you're going to run into things that God has placed there. And all it requires you to be is faithful. Say it, I'm faithful to be on the path he's caused me to be on. You say, well, all Christians are on the right path. Are you kidding me? The what I call gifts that God places on the path. Scripture says in Psalm 16:8, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence and eternal pleasures at your right hand. Of the seven gifts, and we can see this in the life of Abraham, who did what God told him to do, even to the point of offering up his son Isaac as a preemptive, display and example of what God would do through Christ. The greatest gift you're ever going to have is the presence of God in your life. And you want to maximize the presence of God in your life, make sure you're on the path you're supposed to be on. If you take a right turn and you're supposed to go straight, and suddenly you feel like God's presence is not as real to you as it used to be, how do you understand? He's not the one that made the mistake.
Right.
And we're not talking about just the theological concept of omnipresence. We're talking about the tangible, manifest presence of God in your life. He's not the one that blew it. You got off the path. But if you'll stay on the path, you will enjoy his presence and the joy that comes with it like you never have before. Amen. Come on, say it. The greatest gift in my life is the presence of God. And you never have to live without it. Amen. Say, thank God for the presence of the Lord. Amen. Once you have experienced it, nothing on this planet will what? Will do. Nothing refreshes like it. Nothing encourages like it. Nothing gives you perspective like it. No matter what you're dealing with or going through, in the light of his presence, it's nothing. He is eternal. Your situation you're dealing with right now is subject to change. It's temporary. It's temporal. Everybody say the gift of God's presence. Number two is the gift of God's peace. He is the shalom giver. He is the nothing broken, amen, nothing missing giver. He is the parity bringer. He is the one that does wholeness and soundness in our life. Mind, amen, our soul, our emotions, our body, our spiritual life. The great peace that you want in this life is not going out there figuring out for yourself and doing what you want to do. It's walking down the path that he's assigned for your life. The things that people get into pursuing peace. That drug is never going to give you peace. That alcohol is never going to give you peace. Pursuing that next project is never going to give you peace. Pursuing that next dollar is never going to give you peace. Pursuing God will give you that peace. Being on the right path will give you that peace. The peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Keeping your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus according to Scripture. The peace that Jesus gives. Amen. It's not as the world gives. He said, give I. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's a mystery how everything could be exploding around you, but you have perfect peace on the inside of you. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. On that path is also persecution. On that path are also stupid people. Amen. Word throwers, knife throwers, amen. Carnal people. You don't walk down that path in a bubble. But how is it that you can literally be going through hell on earth and have peace in your heart and a twinkle in your eye and a spring in your step, even though everything on the outside is wrong? Guess what? You have perfect peace on the inside. Devil can't figure you out. Amen. And it's a non-negotiable for the child of God that, oh, only in him is there peace like that. Amen. Say, I have the gift of his presence and I have the gift of his peace. And let me just point out to you that if you run into his peace, it's not like that's all the peace there is. There's more down the road for you. There's more of his presence, not less of his presence. Amen. You're winding around, going up and down around the corner, you know, and down the valley, over the mountain, and you're still running into the gifts that he has. He also has the gift of his promises, God's promises. He gave Abraham the promise of his son. God has made promises in his word, and they are yes, and they are amen. And as you're walking down that path, from time to time, God will begin to quicken you on a specific promise. He'll tell you something. And not only do you have the word of God producing faith, you have God talking to your heart, and now your expectation is white hot. Your neck is outstretched. You are expecting to see that promise come to pass. Has God in this room ever made anybody a promise? Has he ever made you a promise? He is still doing the same thing. Now, you don't have to be concerned about how he fulfills it. You just have to believe what he is saying. Amen. I have heard the Lord say many times he was dealing with something, he was taking care of something. And, you know, if I had my druthers, maybe I wouldn't want him dealing with it exactly that way, but that's how he does things. He does it the way he wants to do it. When he gives you a promise, don't turn around and say, but I want you to do it this way. I mean, some of y'all have been believing God for years and years and years for a financial breakthrough, and in your mind, the only way God can do that is with a check in your mailbox. Maybe he doesn't want to do it that way. Maybe he wants to do it with W-O-R-K. I just lost half of you right there. If he gives you the strength and the breath to do that work, is it not God? If he opened up the door, is it not God? If he gave you the strength to follow through on it, is it not God? God did it all. Amen. But does he have to do it that way? I just want him to grow a tree in my backyard. And every morning it just sprouts cash. Can God?
Yes, he could.
Yeah, he can make a donkey fly too. That's one of the problems that we have, is he makes a promise and then we dictate to him how he's going to do the promise. No, the one who made the promise will determine how he's going to fulfill the promise. And if you do that, you'll find yourself in a breakthrough mode. So you're walking down that path and you're going to experience the gift of his presence. You're going to follow and continue on that path. You're going to experience, amen, his power in your life. Listen to me. He has the ability to move in your life in such a way that what he promised to do, he'll do. See, what if my faith wanes while I'm waiting? And you get back into the word of God. Amen. You talk to yourself. Say, hey, self, God promised this. I've known people have been in the body of Christ long enough that they have received a word from God about a lost loved one, and they held on to that for years. Everybody say years.
Years.
Say decades.
Decades.
Do you know that the church in Corbin, Kentucky was planted by a lady? Her name is Marjorie Loomis. And her husband was involved with the, FAA and wanted nothing to do with God. They got married as a young couple. She went to a tent revival, and Marjorie went inside that tent, and she got absolutely on fire for God. Got born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, dancing for the Lord. And he would sit outside that tent as the meeting went on and throw tomatoes at the tent. He wanted nothing to do with God. But he was married, he was faithful to her, and And I think it was kind of intrigued, but wherever God would call her to go in ministry, he would be transferred with the FAA. So something going on. I mean, their 20s go by, their 30s go by, their 40s go by, their 50s go by, their 60s go by, their 70s go by, their 80s go by. And one day he turns to her and says, Marjorie, I've watched you faithfully serve your God. I've watched you pray for me and talk to others about the Lord. So he goes, I want to give my life to Christ too. He was in his late 80s when finally he gave his life to the Lord. And she held on to what? A promise that God would get a hold of him. Amen. There's hope for your son, for your daughter. Amen. There's hope for your parents. I mean, my granddad was a vicious, ornery cuss of a man. 4-pack-a-day Pall Mall, amen. Case of Bush beer every other day. Amen. Wonderful fellow when he was sober. Hell on wheels when he was drunk. Amen. And ironically, he has lived, I think, the third longest of anybody in our family. How can somebody smoke 4 packs of Pall Mall day, amen, Tar Central, and live to be almost 90 years old? Simple. The grace of God. The prayers of God's people. One day he turns on the TV and he comes across Brother Copeland's program. And he sits there and he's intrigued. And he's laughing and he's listening and he's laughing and he's listening and he's laughing and he's listening. And then another week goes by and he's watching again and watching again. One day he asks Tammy, he goes, you know that Copeland fella? She goes, I sure do. They're friends of ours. Well, you tell him he's doing a good job. Before he died, my sister had the privilege of leading him to Jesus Christ. Don't, amen, don't give up on people. God wants them saved more than you do, amen? Be faithful. And I don't know if you caught or not, but I just want to reemphasize it. They sowed a seed this morning in the Nick Castor's presentation that if you will focus on somebody else's family, God will focus on your family. He will seed time and harvest that situation for you. Glory to God. Amen. So, you know, my mom went home to be with the Lord a couple months ago, and she found out that Grandpa made it. I'd have loved to have been an angel just sitting on the dump, you know, store, you know, and say, hey, this is pretty cool. And Grandpa comes walking up, hello, Doris. Now, I can imagine her saying, what are you doing here? But on the other side, guess what? It doesn't matter. Look at somebody and smile and say, don't give up on that lost loved one. Don't give up on that promise. You reach out, amen, continue to reach out. Number four, you have the gift of his protection. Abraham had to fight battles, and battles that he didn't even start, but he finished them, amen. And God gave him protection and gave him victory. On that path, you're going to find the protective hand of God. You will complete your assignment. You will fulfill your days. You will live and not die. You will proclaim the glory of God in your life. You will go and forth and do what God assigned you to do on that path, and he will protect you and keep you so you can complete your assignment. There are a lot of Christians that seem to feel, well, you know, you never know what God's going to do. You know, go out there in life. Life is so vulnerable and so precious, you know. You do know if you are on the path of God, you can expect God to protect you in what you are doing. What if he calls me to be a martyr? Then he'll give you the grace to be a martyr. Yes. But understand, God's not needing more people to die for him. He's needing people to live for him.
Amen.
And share the good news of Christ. Amen. I'm going to say it again because a couple of you missed an opportunity to shout. You get on God's path and he will protect you in your doing, in your going. A lot of Christians are not on the path of God. And they wonder how the devil can sneak in and do things because you are not under a covering when you are out there on your own. You need to be on the path of God. That's where you'll find your protection. Amen. That's why there's no reason for you to be concerned or worry or uptight. Amen. Don't get into fear. God's got it taken care of. Amen. Said, I'm under His love. I'm under His grace. I'm under His covering if I'm on the right path. Along that path, you're going to find the gift of God's people. The ability to have partnership and relationship. Iron sharpeneth iron. Aren't you glad for that? There's a lot of bad company out there, but you don't have to choose to be a part of it. You can allow God to minister in your life, and you're going to run into people that are going to be a blessing to you. Isn't it interesting that, Ransom gets on fire for God, and then Courtney gets on fire for God, and then they run into each other on God's path. Is God able to do that?
Yes,
He is. Yeah, well, Pastor, the devil put somebody on my path. Well, He can do that. He can try to deceive and distract you, amen, deter you. But I'm just telling you that life-changing, life-blessing relationships and connections are made on that path. Some of you say, well, I just need a friend. I just need somebody to walk with me. Well, ask God for it and stay on your path. Don't veer off your path to go find a friend. Yeah. Don't veer off your path to find a husband. It shouldn't be a surprise to you that some young people choose a church by how much tail they can find in another church. Ain't enough single women over here, so I got to go over here to whatever. Same thing with young ladies. Oh, there's not enough men here, so I'll go over here. Do you know what? If you'll be faithful where God told you to be on your path, if God has to airship them in a box with a bow on it, they'll be there for you. You don't have to go chasing after something. I've seen people chase tail right off the path of God and then wonder why it explodes on them. You want sanctified tail. Holy Ghost tail. And don't get all put out with me because I'm telling you the truth. If you've been sitting in my seat for a few decades, you would see how many lives have been destroyed over this principle. I got to go to this church because I can build my business there. I got to go over here because that's where all the good looking ladies or men are. I got to go over here to make some good connections. It's not socially acceptable to be over here. We never claim to be socially acceptable. If you're looking to be socially elevated by being around us, got nothing else to say about that. But what's the path you're supposed to be on? Amen. I'm telling you that you just do what God wants you to do and you'll have those quality relationships and partnerships. You don't have to go out chasing anything.
That's right.
Amen. Did God not put Isaac and his spouse together supernaturally?
Yes, He did.
Yeah, you think God's done doing that? Oh, we got to do it like the world. We got to date 15 people. Practice divorce. Have a soul tie, then break it. Soul tie, then break it. Soul tie. No wonder the marriages are a mess. You got Christian young people practicing divorce, and the parents thinking it's cute. And the church going, aren't they a cute couple? The next thing you know, all they know is how to break soul ties and the hurt of that when we should be just trusting God. Well, you know, He's awful slow. You would rather have God be slow in bringing somebody into your life than you marrying some demon-possessed dude.
Amen.
You wake up the next morning, it's your honeymoon, his head spins around, he starts spitting out pea green soup, and then you want to call me. You know, there are a lot of people these days won't even inform me at all. They just go off somewhere and get married. Whatever. I'm not looking for more to do. Please, please, let me. No. But if you have confidence in the will of God, amen. Partnership, connections. Smile at somebody and say, God's got divine connections for you. On what? On his path, not your path. Amen.
That's great, Pastor, because you know these college students need to hear that.
Are you kidding me? I got news for you. Those 25 and under in our nation, they're going after God across the country. They're going to marry well, not stupid. They're going to seek God. They're a hope for this nation. They're hungry for God. They're bypassing all that other stuff. And you and I, amen, can learn something from that, that fervor and that, that zeal. Glory to God. Come on, shout it out. There are gifts on the path God has for me. But you get off the path and you miss all these things. You have to start manufacturing things for yourself. And you know, the flesh manufactured gift is never better than the one ordained by God for you. Amen. Said, I thank God. He's got gifts for me. He's got gifts for you. Glory to God. Let me round this out for you. He has the gift of prosperity out there on that path. Bible says that God made Abram very rich. A lot of people get offended over that. And if God can do that under the old covenant, think what he can do now. Can God take care of his people? I say, can God take care of his people? You don't have to get off the path of God to have God bless your life. But you can expect God to take care of you on the path he's called you to. And you don't have to apologize over it. The world can't understand this, and that's fine. A lot of carnal Christians can't. But if you go after God, these blessings will come up on you and overtake you on his path.
So I know people that Christians, you know, and they have this, and they went off on their own.
Yeah, but look at all the other gifts. Are they in operation in their life? What are they compromised to have what their flesh is producing? They have the gift of God's purpose. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Say it. Can I say it one more time? They have the gift of God's purpose in their life.
Amen.
Is that good?
Yes.
Yeah. To know that you're actually going to make an eternal difference. Amen. God's called you to do more than grow up, get married, get a job, education, get a job, live in a town, amen, contribute to a 401k, retire one day, and die. Somewhere along that line, there should be testimonies of your participation in the redemptive mission of God. Let me say it like this. Every path for every Christian at its core is redemptive. One of the ways you can tell if you're on the right path or not. If you can't identify what aspect of the path you're on is redemptive, you're missing something in your life. Amen. You know, I've said this before, but dealing with mom and dad's affairs, and of course I have three siblings, one's in Charleston, one's in Houston, and one's in Phoenix. They're not around, Miss Ruth.
Nope.
Amen. And I realize that Americans collect a lot of stuff. And every time you turn around, they're building more storage areas in this town. What you do is you move into a house as an American and you fill up all the closets and then you fill up the garage and then you fill up the attic and then you get an outside building and fill that up. You're in Kentucky, so you get a pickup truck, a trailer, and a barn. Hallelujah. Fill that up. No more room in the barn, so go over here and rent you a couple storage units for your stuff. I'm convinced that probate is a parent's revenge on their kids. All that stuff. Look at somebody and say, all that stuff. We've collected a 5-gallon bucket full of scissors. Do you know how warm it makes my heart to know that my inheritance is a bucket of scissors? I feel so blessed. Big scissors, little scissors, amen. Food scissors, fabric scissors. Scissors, I have no idea what they're for. So I'm over there yesterday just doing some more arranging, and I just pick up a box of garbage bags. They get a garbage bag, and guess what fell out of the garbage bag box?
Scissors.
And somehow she's up there laughing. I mean, she's just laughing over this. I mean, she had this collection and that collection and this, and she had that. When we drove them from Phoenix back in 2016, Tim drove the van with Mom in the passenger seat, and I drove the Penske truck. Big yellow truck. I thought we would get the one that's built on a Ford van chassis. You know, a little bitty one. Because they were supposed to downsize before we got out there. I'm thinking they upsized before we got out there. And the guy at Home Depot is like, you know, that truck's not going to do it. You're going to need this one. I never drove a truck like that in my life. It was the one step below what you need for, you know, a CDL to drive. We got to Albuquerque. It almost took out the awning of a gas station. But Timothy and I thought, you know what we should do? I mean, it was packed. From front to back, bottom to ceiling. In tongues to shut the door. And Timothy and I joked, what if we just open up the door? Going through Oklahoma. Let it just trickle out. By the time we got to Murray, maybe a few essentials would be there. She said, don't you talk about my stuff like that. Like it was alive or something. It's just stuff. Now, God gives us, according to Scripture, all things for our enjoyment, not for our bondage. But I'm just telling you that some of the stuff have come to kids and grandkids and my sister and my two brothers and a few things that were precious to me that remind me of my mom and dad I have. But 99.99% of this stuff is not going to be in the hands of any of us. The only thing you're going to take to heaven with you. God is not going to allow you to bring your 5-pound bucket of scissors into heaven with you. The only thing that you're going to take is another believer that you have reached. Amen. It's not going, not the precious stuff, none of it is going. Amen. Mom had four ladies, she called her earth angels, and there are two of them here. And they're sharing over there, and Miss Diane, and she had these painted ponies, and so, you know, all of us thought that we wanted to just bless them and give them something to remind, but I'm just telling you that the bulk of this stuff, where is it going to be? It's not going with us. Your path is not about just collecting stuff. Amen. How big was the weight of the trash that we took out?
Before or after I stopped counting. I stopped counting at 2,000 pounds.
Wow. 2,000 pounds. These people kept every piece of paper they had ever touched in their life. Bank statements going back to 1952. I'm half convinced I'm going to open something and boom, there's going to be some more paper fly out. What's the point? On that path is purpose, and that purpose is leading people to Christ and discipling them. That's the only thing you're thinking. The fruit of a Christian is another Christian, not an attic full, not a garage full, not a storage shed full, but another Christian. That's the only thing you get to take with you. Aren't you glad that God will take care of the clothing on the other end? Amen. God will take care of the provisions on the other end. We know it's material as well as spiritual because the city itself is ornate and beautiful. Amen. But all this stuff on our path that we're accumulating, it's not going with us. Amen. And the heart cried today, and next week we'll talk about how to actually discern that path and stay on it. But the heart cry, I think, of God for all of us today is just take stock in that. And if you've trailed from that, if you have taken a wrong step, you can just repent. Get back on the path where you belong. Not that you're perfect, but you know what? I'm not going to keep living this way for me. I'm not going to keep making all my decisions and stop, start asking God, what does he want about this situation? What does he want for my life? You think you can do that today, church?
Yes.
I said, you think you can do that today?
Yes.
How many know he'll be honored by that?
Yes.
He'll honor that and he'll help you. He'll minister to you in this situation. Amen. A mom has scissors. What do you got? It was rhetorical. I really don't want to know. Why don't you stand to your feet and give him a hand clap if you can receive that today. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, my Father. We bless you. We praise you. We honor you, Father. On the path that he has are amazing gifts. And you'll run right into them. You won't have to make anything happen. You won't have to force anything happen. But every path God has for his people, once they're saved, it's a redemptive path. That's the question to ask yourself. So as your heads are bowed today and your eyes are closed, I mean, say in all honesty, you found yourself veering off of the path of God. Pressures and circumstances and challenges, sickness, financial issues, interpersonal issues. Just raise your hand and say, Heavenly Father, I just recognize I'm not where I need to be in terms of the path of God. I'm making a quality decision. You would do what you need to do in me. I know those gifts are there. They're still there. It's still your will. It's not about you changing the course. It's about me getting back on the path. Giving me prosperous feet. All over this building, say, Heavenly Father,
amen.
I'm so thankful for the mercy of God. I ask you for your forgiveness. For too long, I've been going on a path of my own creation. I acknowledge that. And I repent of that. Lord, you have a path specifically for me. On that path are all these gifts. But on that path, the primary reason I'm on that path is redemption. Somebody needs to know. Somebody needs to have what I have. So, Lord, I repent of being focused on the wrong things. And I thank you today. You have the ability to put me right back, smack dab, in the middle of the right path. I say, just like the Lord, here am I. I'm here to do your will. I declare, let the will of God be done in me and through me for the rest of my life. His kingdom come. His will be done. I shout it out. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And I believe right now He forgives the guilt of my iniquity. I'm so thankful for all the treasures and wonders and gifts on that path. The Lord make me most excited about the impact I'll have today and every day for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank you today. I have prosperous eyes. I thank you today. I have prosperous ears. I thank you today. I have a prosperous mouth. And I thank you today. I have prosperous feet. I have beautiful feet, not stinky feet. And I give you all the praise and all the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Come on, give me another shout and a hand clap. Thank you.